Jim Huckaday is traveling around the country and ministering at many places over the next couple of weeks. Jim would like you to enjoy this previously aired message due to the importance of understanding the topics covered. There will be a new live broadcast on April 18th, 2012. Thank you and enjoy this wonderful message from Jim to you.
There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone. Or are you without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment and to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here just for this purpose, to enlighten and empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, here we are. It's Wednesday night, and just to let you know, this is the 14th of March. The show is live on this Wednesday night. It's about 45 seconds after 8 o'clock. Now, there's been a time change, and I want to talk about this time change for a lot of you, because we have listeners in a lot of countries, and we have listeners in a lot of places in the world that don't understand what quote-unquote a time change is. And so before we get into the show, I'm going to address this about another couple times during this hour, because so many of you do not listen to the live broadcast, but a lot of you do. And so there's going to be a lot of you that are going to be tuning in, and this show is actually going to be over. In the central part of the United States, in the spring and in the fall, we turn the clocks back, either turn them back in the fall, and we give them an hour ahead of time in the spring. And so for a lot of you, you're now going to have to realize that this show is going to start for you at 7 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock p.m. It will be this way through the spring and through the summer. And there's nothing we can do about it. It's what they do in the central part of the United States, and just wanted to get that out of the way. Okay, let's get down to business. Why aren't you talking with God? I mean, you talk to your neighbors. Hopefully you're not talking to yourself, but if you do, it seems like you talk to your dog, your cat. You talk to everybody. Why aren't you having nice conversations with God? Because I want to ask you something. Think of it this way. Have you ever thought that having a relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is a family? You're part of that family. Would you think that there are rules and regulations, certain times, certain places, formalities that would present themselves that would either allow you or prevent you from having a conversation with your family? And if you say, no, that's ridiculous, then why would it be not ridiculous for the most important relationship in your existence? Notice I didn't say life. That's worldly. That's flesh. I'm talking about your existence as a spiritual being. Why would there be rules, parameters? Why would you need permission, a dress code? Doesn't make any sense, does it, Jim?
No, it doesn't. And Scripture is full of the relationship between Jesus and the Father, and then between the church and the Father, and he calls it the family of God. And it just shows you God always meant to have a family, and he's extremely relational. So there's really no part of the relationship with God that God's excited about going even a moment or an hour without having to check in.
These are the stumbling blocks that will keep you from having your prayers answered, from having a more calm, peaceful, centered life. I mean, there's no greater loss than laying in a dark room at night, looking at the alarm clock, and 10 minutes has gone by, and it seems like 4 hours. And you go to bed worried, you go to bed upset, you go to bed angry, And when you finally drift off to sleep because out of sheer exhaustion, before you know it, the alarm clock goes off in the morning, and there you are with a new day presented with yesterday's dramas and yesterday's issues. That is the turmoil of so many people's lives. It doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't have to be at all. In fact, the joy of the experience of having God be your Father and having a relationship with Christ is that we actually get to have someone with us 24 hours a day, every minute of the day. His name is the Holy Spirit. There's a wonderful relationship there. You don't ever have to feel like you're alone.
I think it's really sad that so many people, and see, this is really the difference why I say, no, you're not going to a church, you're going to a building. No, it's not a church, it's a building. And sometimes people get very defensive, and I can understand, because nothing is more defensible or more personal than a relationship sure. with God. But all this being said, folks, where does it say there are certain hours to worship, certain clothes, certain customs? Those are man-made rules for a man-made existence that does nothing but keep you under the thumb of doctrine and religion to keep you coming back. Because to truly be spiritually free, to truly have the experiences that so many people have, and by the way, you don't deserve them, you don't have to earn them, they're a gift from
yep.
God.
They're free.
They're yours.
Yeah.
And if you're not experiencing them, you should. It's there. It's like walking around with money in your pockets and you're in the middle
That's
of the
right.
world's largest shopping mall and you think you don't have any money to spend. And the only reason you think you don't have any money to spend in the world's largest shopping mall isn't because you haven't earned the money, isn't because you've stole it. It's not that. It's just because so many people have told you you have no money in your pockets. And what the only thing is in your pocket is what they allow you to have. Because if you can spend freely, you're truly free and you don't need control.
Right. BJ, wouldn't you just say along with your thoughts, because I do agree that we have so many man-made religious ideas about what we've called church. And the real church is the body of Christ. It's the people. It's not even the walls of a building
No.
that we decorate. And yet, thank God that we can meet in a building that's warm and come together. But, and I do agree with that point. But, you know, when you look at the Word of God, there's plenty of scriptures that support that people came together to magnify God and to worship God, to be encouraged, to have instruction. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But the point we're making here is that we have so much of the concepts given to us that dictate our relationship with God that comes out of the church that is more man-made for the purpose of control than it is for the purpose of a person's real spiritual enlightenment.
The overwhelming majority of buildings on the face of the planet are competitive. And they are money-making businesses, and they are more concerned about other buildings in that town offering something
Correct.
That they need to offer, or they're not Right. offering their parishioners.
Right. Which is what I've experienced all over the country.
I have literally seen, in the middle of summertime, I have seen buildings with blinking lights saying air conditioning. You know, I see that at hardware stores. I mean, I've seen that at casinos.
Right.
I mean, do you really think that you're going to get heat stroke if you're worshiping God with other Christians? You don't think that the Holy Spirit's going to keep everybody
well,
cool, calm, and collected?
Again, this is another area.
This is ridiculous.
It is, and this is a huge area. And there's some wonderful things that I want to share here tonight, and we're off and running, and I really like the topic we're on right now, but this is a huge area that we have to get people acclimated to the experience of God instead of being so quickly motivated to put their trust in the world. And a statement like you just made may seem ridiculous. And from our perspective, it's extremely ridiculous that we would think, well, they don't have air conditioning. I'm just going to burn up. Well, what part of your trust in God to come together and worship Him wouldn't expect that somehow that that room would be pleasant enough and your body would be equal enough in temperature that you could actually sit there and enjoy yourself versus freaking out having a worldly concept of things where we dismiss the grace of God. And this, I feel like, is a real central theme in all the different broadcasts that we give, where we're trying to give people a new thought where they can begin to let these things roll around in their brain and begin to ponder and think, am I turning my back on the grace of God? Is there more to the experience of God? And BJ, here's an amazing question. Is there more to my fellowship with God than I've actually allowed myself to have? That's the kind of question that I really want to see people get a handle on, because I'm going to share something with you, and then I want to hear BJ's thoughts on this too, his comments. But folks, listen, I've had a relationship with God for a very long time, and BJ talking about, even at the beginning of the broadcast, about do you talk with God? Well, I can remember as a young little boy walking home from school, and of course back then, BJ, there weren't a whole lot of things. I didn't have a cell phone, and I wasn't playing a game on my phone. I was looking around at nature, walking about a half a mile home from school. And while I'm walking home from school, I remember asking questions. People might have looked at me and thought I was funny, like I was talking to myself. But I'd say, you know, Lord, I wonder why such and such is true. And right out of my own mouth, I'd say, well, I know the answer to that. That answer is such and such. And I'd have an answer. And it's like God was communicating with me. Even as a little boy, I understood the voice of God. And we weren't even taught that. But how many of us have stopped short at the door and have not really had the experience of a real relationship?
Well, it's not just that. The reason people stop short at the door, Jim, is because for generations, and long before the United States was even a country, you can go back a century, you know, back over 1,000 years, there was a man-made, man-created structure, protocol to having any type of spiritual enlightenment.
Yes.
And it was literally dipped in religion.
Yeah.
It was like, it doesn't matter what you want to eat, we're going to dip it in chocolate. And so after a while, it doesn't matter what you're consuming, whether it's a turkey leg, a chicken leg, French fries, or fried zucchini, it's going to taste like chocolate.
Right.
And so before you know it, everything is about chocolate. And then there's going to be battles and there's going to be wars, because some people are going to say, no, semi-sweet is the right chocolate, dark chocolate, white chocolate, and you have all these battles and wars over what is going to be drowned and dipped in chocolate. When in reality, since it's all about the chocolate, you never really taste or you never benefit from what you're consuming. Well, the flip side to this little analogy is, pretend for a moment, ladies and gentlemen, that what I just said about chocolate is really religion and buildings.
Right.
Because after a while, they literally make jokes about each other. They compete with each other. Where does it say anywhere in Scripture that you need to compete with somebody that's trying to worship their father?
Yeah.
Where would you ever in your family try to compete with your brother or sister for time with your mother and dad?
Yeah,
they'd think you were nuts.
Yeah, Paul even made reference, BJ, he said, you're acting like mere men because you're saying, well, I'm of Paul. I like the way he does it. No, I'm with Cephas. I like the way he does it. No, I'm with Barnabas. I like the way he does it. He said that's what mere men act like. They have schisms. They have fractions. He said we're the body of Christ. Our Lord is the one we serve, not man. And so these are really good thoughts, because as you heard earlier, and I'm going to repeat what BJ made a comment about, these are the kind of things that actually pull you away from the effectiveness of your faith and of your prayers. These are the little trivialities of the world. You know, I was thinking about when he made comment to the way that religion has really trained us to think. on the scale of the last 2,000 years, you could say that it wasn't really too long ago, and the Bible was only for the bishop or the pope.
The educated, the rich.
The common man couldn't even look at a Bible.
No.
And on the scale of how long it's been since Christ, that really wasn't very long ago.
No, it was a blink of an eye.
So when you begin to put some of that together, you see how that some of those mentalities are still in the body, where even in the church today, the thinking is, well, there's such a huge separation between the pastor and the people. Oh, my goodness. I mean, you're a pastor. You could never go down there and fellowship with the sheep. You have to fellowship with pastors. Pastors fellowship with pastors. You can't fellowship with sheep. And again, these kind of thoughts go way back to religious thinking. It's not even that someone so much made it up today, as it's a byproduct of the way people have been thinking for years and years and years. But notice what it does. It brings separation in a very ungodly way, where we find individuals feeling inferior, and they feel like, well, that's a relationship for you, but that's not the kind of relationship that I can have. And immediately, BJ, if you're feeling like this isn't something that I'm even supposed to expect to happen, that God would really speak to me, you've just shot yourself in the foot.
I want to ask you something. I want you to really think about this, okay? If somebody is more concerned with making sure that you are following the leader and that you're in line, that you show up, you present yourself in a certain way with certain clothing on a certain day and certain time, and you pray a certain way, you worship a certain way, you talk a certain way, after a while, isn't it more about the pomp and stance and the doctrine and the religion than it really is the experience? Because we're individual spirits. We're made in His image. Nowhere in Scripture, nowhere in the book at all, does it say that we are supposed to march in a straight line. It's all about connecting on our own. When you pray, go to your room and pray. Why would all of our sins be forgiven? Why would everything of this world be wrong if we were supposed to be like links in a chain? We're not. We're individuals.
Yeah.
And the relationship is a one of an individual relationship. It says in the book of James somewhere that whether you've been a Christian and you've had a relationship with God your whole life, or you just find God 5 minutes before you die, it doesn't matter. Both have equal love and equal position in heaven.
Right.
If that is truly the case, which it is, because it's in James somewhere, then obviously that means that we are truly individuals and the path to God is one on one.
Right.
Because otherwise, they would have said, if you don't get this from the beginning, you're screwed. You lost out. But if you can go your whole life and be wrong, and just for the sake of this discussion, if your whole life you can be full of sins and be wrong and not have a relationship with God, and all of a sudden you can be instantly saved when you're 65 years old and you're on your deathbed, well, then obviously that goes to what? Separate but equal individual relationships with Christ.
Right. Christ becomes the equalizer in all of it. And every individual has their own relationship, and because of their individuality, that relationship is going to be uniquely different, and yet at the same time, the similarities are going to be there as well, where we all have understanding, where there's fruit in our lives because of our relationship, where there's a wonderful wisdom that comes from God. All the fruits of the Spirit are going to be the same in each person, even though they'll be expressed differently. And I don't want someone to think out there, and I'll clarify this thought. I was thinking about this while BJ was talking. I'm not against the church by any means at all. I'm not against leadership at all. In fact, God's the one that set leadership in the body of Christ because the sheep need leadership. But the leadership is there to help raise the sheep up to have an amazing relationship with God, where their individuality is met by the Spirit of God the same way it is for that leader. I want to share something with you tonight that I think is really important, and I'm going to take this moment to go right back to Genesis, and we've said some things like this before, and I'll say it again just to preface what I'm going to say. The book of Genesis is extremely, extremely important. In fact, The more I get into the book of Genesis, the more I'm amazed at how much, even in the first few chapters, how many things you can actually see there that are important for our lives today. Because the book of Genesis is the book of beginnings, it shows you how God had intended things to be. And then it shows you how things got messed up. So it really begins to bring, well, it begins to bring some understanding to the things you need to avoid and the things you need to pay attention to. So when I'm over here in the book of Genesis, I want to share this thought. And that is that it says here in verse 8, "And then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." That verse of Scripture has a lot of meaning to it. And one of the things that you can pull out of there is understanding that God came in the cool of the day, which was a breeze, which was an inviting time. In other words, think about how nice it is in the evening time to set out for a stroll with your wife and how easy it is to get out there and just have fellowship one with another. And it's a real cool night, a wonderful time to walk and talk and fellowship. Well, folks, now bring this over into the original way that God intended things to be, which was for God to have continual fellowship with him. Jesus, you know, makes comment of that over in John chapter 15 and verse 7, where he says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you." The word abide means to stay continually connected. So if you stay continually connected with him and the word of God becomes continually connected with you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done for you. There are some keys, there are some clues to spiritual success in prayer. Bring this back over into Genesis. And I think what we're trying to show you here is God wanted a family. He created man so that he could have fellowship with him. He created him in his image and in his likeness. We find that over in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, where it says, "Let us make man in our image and likeness according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the things that God has made." Well, this helps us to see God wanted to have fellowship with us. Now, I'm going to make one more point, and it's going to take another couple of minutes to do so. So hang on with me and keep a hold of these things that we're bringing out, because it goes directly to what we're talking about tonight, and that is not stopping at the threshold with religion, tradition, and doctrine without experiencing the joy of fellowshipping with God. Okay, in Genesis chapter 1, you can read it yourself, but I'm going to make a couple comments. Just trust me with this, and then go back and read it. You'll find that in the book of Genesis, almost every verse of Scripture in chapter 1 starts with, or somewhere in that verse, has the word Elohim, which is the word for God. There are 31 verses of Scripture, 31 verses in the first chapter. In that first chapter, we don't find any other name for God but Elohim. And Elohim means the one true and only God. Then if you go to chapter 2, you find in verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3 that again, the only name we have for God is Elohim. And verse 1, 2, and 3 is talking about that God has finished creation, that everything is complete now. And verse 4, we find a very interesting thing. It's called the law of first mention. The first time something is mentioned in Scripture, it's very important. And here in verse 4 of chapter 2, you find that there's another name given for God. It says, "In the day that the Lord God," and it adds the word Lord or Jehovah to the word Elohim. Now, if this is sounding deep, hold on for a second. It's actually very simple. The word Jehovah means the one who has always existed, who now reveals himself or manifests himself. So here's my point. It says here in the fourth verse of the second chapter, after 31 verses of knowing that God or Elohim created the earth, all of a sudden, God has another name, and that name comes with the idea that God is going to make a covenant with someone and reveal or manifest himself to someone as the one true and only God. So here's my question. How come it takes till the fourth verse of the second chapter for God to give us another name? And the answer is very simple. Because that's when Adam came alive. That's when Adam had the capacity to accept a revelation and begin a relationship with God. My point is, God didn't waste any time immediately, as soon as Adam had life breathed into his nostrils, of immediately showing Adam, I am your father, and I'm the one that made you, created you, and I want to have a relationship with you. Folks, this is an amazing truth. At the beginning, before anything was ever messed up, God walked and talked with Adam. The moment Adam had breath, the moment his brain cells came alive like a computer that you turn on, immediately God showed up and said, now I can reveal myself to the creation that I made called man or Adam, and I can show Adam that I'm no one to be afraid of, that he doesn't have to be afraid of me in any way, that I want to have a relationship with him. And BJ, I know I took some time with that, but I wanted to share something from Scripture to validate that in the very beginning, it has always been that God has wanted to talk with us, that God has wanted to have a relationship. Your comments.
Well, so many people are literally walking around thinking that all there is holding hands, singing songs, praying, going to a building or a church once or twice a week, and that's it. But if you literally press them verbally or stick a gun to their head and say, have you had a prayer answered? And they would go, no.
Right.
Have you ever actually heard God speak? Have you seen him?
Most people would say no.
They'd say no.
Yeah.
Some people would say, well, you're not supposed to.
There you go.
And I feel so sad for people because it is their fault, but it isn't their fault.
Right.
They're traditionally civilization-wise being hoodwinked.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not their fault. It's not their parents' fault or their grandparents' fault. Well, I mean, you could go down their entire family tree, and it starts at the beginning. But you have to understand something that I want you to think about something. When there are rules and regulations and certain ways that you have to do something, and money is involved, and then you add tradition, that's the recipe for a man-made business.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is. I remember you telling me something once.
That's I've just described Goodyear tire.
Yeah.
Ford Motor Company, John Deere tractor. I've just described Catholicism.
Yeah.
Methodist, Lutheran. They're all about tradition and keeping you just a bit satisfied to come back.
Yeah, a very, very interesting thought that you're making.
Well, and the thing is because there's nowhere in the Bible where it says that you have to continue anything. It talks about a very short, quick, absolute journey, and you're there.
Yeah.
I mean, it does nowhere. Nowhere did Paul or anybody else say, well, once you've found God, once you've had a prayer answered, you need to go back and start all over again for the next one. It isn't. It's all about come find me, come be with me, and enjoy it.
Yeah, well, there's no limitation. We've already been over that million times.
But the way you keep control, the way that you keep people literally coming back for more is to never really give them what they need. If you went to the think of it this way, ladies and gentlemen, if you went to the grocery store one time and you only had to pay one time and you picked out all the food that you wanted to eat, and from then on you never had to go back to that building again, because once that store realized what you liked to eat, what you could eat, what you weren't allergic to, what you liked, what you thrived on, and you had paid for it, you never had to go back to that grocery store. The food literally just kept replenishing itself in the pantry, in the cupboards, and in the refrigerator and the freezer, and all you had to do was enjoy it and consume it. Wouldn't you just think that's the greatest thing in the world? Have I not just described Christianity? Come once, all your sins were paid for by Jesus. They were washed away by his blood. It's been paid for. It's yours. Come get it. Enjoy it. And when you use it, I'll replenish it with more. Did I not just describe it? So then what about this description applies to the buildings you're going to on a weekly basis?
Yeah, well,
you're lost.
Yeah, again, I
don't want you to be lost.
Yeah, again, we're describing some things from the standpoint of how religion comes in to distort and keep man from having the full experience that they're supposed to have. Again, I don't have any problem at all with churches, and especially churches that are preaching a message that sets people free to experience freedom, to go beyond what we've called the status quo, and to experience God in his fullness. And I know that so many people have great intentions for that, but some of the things that we've just mentioned here are really, really important to think about. Now, here I am, a minister, after 25 years or so of ministry, being involved in ministry, and being a Christian basically all my life. And it wasn't long ago that I realized that many of the amazing experiences that I would say were amazing in my life were things that actually could happen on a regular basis. That it didn't have to wait for maybe every once in a while. These are special experiences. And then I started to realize the idea that I would make them special experiences just devalues the ability of God and the heart of God to want special to become normal. That everything normal in my life, because I'm a spirit being, should be special. And I shouldn't be surprised that God speaks to me. I shouldn't be surprised to have that happen over and over again. The relationship with the Holy Spirit should be one, and we've mentioned this on the show before, where it's like a parrot sitting on a pirate's shoulder in the movies that we've seen before, where it never leaves the pirate, and it's always talking. Well, the Holy Spirit is there all the time. That's one of the things that Jesus so wonderfully helped us to have a confidence in, that I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. We see Jesus preparing the disciples for the day that he would leave the earth, and he filled them with knowledge that I'm going to send you someone, and it's going to be to your advantage. This person will be a helper and a comforter and a standby. He'll be a strengthener. He'll be someone to give you counsel. He'll be a lawyer if you need a lawyer. He'll be a strength to your life. He is the Holy Spirit. He'll be there every day of your life. Folks, these things begin to bring us into an understanding of family, of the way that God has always intended for our lives to be lived. We weren't supposed to be cast to the side, to the wayside, trying to come up with an understanding of what life really meant. Again, cliques of the church, of religion, and tradition have taken us away from every individual experiencing the most wonderful, satisfying relationship with God, where their heart has peace every day of your life. Something that has gone beyond where you've been. In fact, the truth of the matter is, when you look at some of the statements we have in Scripture, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. What's Paul trying to tell us there? Well, God is speaking through Paul to say, everyone, there are no limitations. There are no boundaries. The depth and the length and the breadth of your relationship has to do with how far do you want to go. How much do you want to experience? What is it that you desire? And I feel like this is the thing, BJ, that we're in a sense giving people an understanding of, helping them to see that they can have more of God if they want him.
Jim Huckaday is traveling around the country and ministering at many places over the next couple of weeks. Jim would like you to enjoy this previously aired message due to the importance of understanding the topics covered. There will be a new live broadcast on April 18th, 2012. Thank you and enjoy this wonderful message from Jim to you.
We've had several emails over the last month where people are questioning why their prayers aren't instantly answered. I talk about going home. People want to go home. We've had some really nice emails. And there's a loneliness, a disheartenedness in some of your emails. And the reason is because there are things in your way that are very easy to eliminate. I'm not telling you to stop going anywhere that you want to go. No, because that in itself is a control factor. What I'm trying to get you to do is to question, is to just sit in a comfortable chair, float in your bathtub with a rubber duck and a whole bunch of Mr. Bubbles if you want, and just take a moment and consider. Because if you're not there and you're not experiencing what Jim is describing and talking about, then the reason has got to be something very simple, because this isn't hard. It's extremely simple to do. It's just not easy because you have to set aside what you think reality is.
Yes.
You have to stop thinking like a man, a woman. You have to stop thinking like you're made in his image, like a spirit being. What are you? Where are you? What are you trying to accomplish? And when you start really to dissect those questions and think about it, you're at first, you're going to get very sad and despondent because you're going to feel like you've been lied to, tricked, hoodwinked, that you've wasted years. But I'm here to tell you that that's great. That means that the door is opening to your spirit, because as soon as you get to that point,
yep,
and you start to feel like that and you feel like you've been misled and that it's wrong and that there is something better, it's going to wash over you like a gentle spring breeze.
Yes.
And you're going to feel a warmth like you've never felt before, like your little pile of potato and grandma's gravy is drowning you. And that's the Holy Spirit, that's the anointing that is showing you,
yes,
that finally you have set aside this world and you have opened your heart and you have put your mind and your reality thoughts aside and you are now one with God.
Yeah, that's really, really good. I like that.
Well, back it up with Scripture so they don't think I'm nuts.
No, there's nothing about it that is nuts. In fact, I wanted to, and I will back that up with Scripture. I wanted to bring in...
It talks about grandma's gravy in the Bible?
I don't think so, but it talks about other food, okay?
Okay, just wondering. Thought I'd ask.
Here's my point. I wanted to bring up, and you and I have talked a little bit about Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, and the wonderful relationship that he had. And you remember me telling you that he made the comment, which was that laying in bed at night next to his wife, that he actually had just as much or even more of a recognition or awareness of the Holy Spirit than he did of his wife laying in bed next to him. How real is that? See, and I know that there's such an importance for us to know that we actually can go further. See, a statement like that, when I heard him say that, do you know what that automatically did? It opened my eyes. It made my mind think, wow, you mean that's possible to actually have that kind of an awareness to God? Now, here's the interesting thing. I'm going to say it from my point of view. You just said it from your point of view using, you know, a little pile of potatoes drowning in grandma's gravy. I mean, you just can't really get any better than that, but I'll try to put my spin on it, which is simply just saying it's amazing what happens when your heart opens up to a truth. Because the moment you hear something you've never heard before, immediately the grace of God is available to take what you've just heard and bring it into an experience. God is always about the experience. I'm going to share with you, and I think I've shared this with you before, BJ, I'm not sure, but Brother Hagin years ago, Kenneth Hagin, he prophesied, and this prophecy you'll find interesting. I'll find it for you because you really would like to read it. But anyhow, the gist of it is this. He said, there's coming a day you'll find a group of individuals that will begin to understand the unseen realm as well as most people understand the realm of the seen. And they'll begin to walk with God and hear God and talk with God in ways that will cause the world to stand up and say, who do you think you are? Do you think you're God? And they'll say, no, but we are the sons of God. and they'll understand the realm of the supernatural, and it will become as real to them and as natural to them as breathing air. And then it went on to say, and these individuals will walk in the miraculous, and it will be normal for them. It will become natural.
If we're made in His image, if we're made in God's image, and we're destined to do greater works than He does, what about that says religion? What about that refers to a building? What about that refers to anything that you've known in your life, whether you're 20 or you're 80? Think about this. I'm going to pose a very difficult question, and I'm not trying to be trite, and I'm not trying to be insulting, but I'm trying to be absolute with this. No matter how old you are, no matter how many years you've been going to what you thought was a church, but now I refer to it as a building, no matter how many communions you've participated in, no matter how many times you've been in a building, how many songs you've sang, how many times prayer, Bible studies, all these groups, how successful has it really been? Has it worked? And the reason is if you're listening to this show and this show is helpful, then that means there's only one answer. No, it hasn't worked. Because if it worked, you wouldn't need to listen to Jim and myself. You'd talk to God. You'd listen to God. You'd be with the Holy Spirit. Ask and you shall receive. All your sins would be forgiven. Everything would be fine and dandy. And your life would be what you want it to be and what it is supposed to be and written in Scripture.
BJ, I'm going to stop you right there because that's too good of a point that you just made. And I want to back it up with the Scripture, okay, so that people can see what you just said. And tell me if this is what you just said. It says, but we have an anointing which you have received from Him who abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you shall abide or remain connected to Him. That verse of Scripture basically just says, folks, the Holy Spirit is given to be our teacher and our guide, and He'll help us to have an amazing relationship with God.
Yes.
And you don't need
right back
to
family.
You don't need to have someone sit there and teach you all day long. And what BJ said, there's more truth to that than a lot of things I've heard in a very long time, which is, you know, if you're hearing what we're saying and you're seeing Him and you're having experiences with God and your prayers are being answered and you're fellowshipping with Him, you really don't need to hear us really too much anymore.
How many times have I told you that a church will have those revolving doors so that when one person comes in, another person comes out?
Right.
I mean, a real church should almost have a drive-up window.
Yep.
Show up, be baptized, be saved, find out that you're a spirit being, start communicating with your Father. And by the way, would you get out of the way? Because there's a whole bunch of cars behind you.
Yeah, a lady told me just this past weekend, that lady with that got the horses healed and had a really good relationship with God. She said she was out in California, and Kenneth Hagin came out there to a church. And she said literally the place was packed with a couple thousand people, and there were a few hundred people waiting outside. And she said, we waited and waited and waited, but what would happen is people would get out of their seats from getting blessed and getting touched, and they'd walk out the door and say, you got a seat. And then we'd run in there, we'd grab their seat.
That's my point. I want you to think about something. If you go to a building on a Sunday and you sit in the same spot and they actually congratulate you with giving you a reserved seat and they say, and this is for this family, are you kidding me? That's a testament to that nobody's getting it.
Yeah.
That no one is getting it. I'm sorry, but think about this, because if you don't consider this harsh, sharp, abrupt description, if you don't question these things, I am here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you might as well go bowling. You might as well never listen to Jim ever again. Because if you're going to wrap yourselves in doctrine, you're going to swim in a muddy, thick peanut butter-like substance called religion, you will never see Christ. You won't experience it. You'll only hear about it and only smell it like somebody barbecuing next door.
Yeah, I want to share this with the folks so that you can see what's happening here, and so you don't have to be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of.
No.
We're just sharing some things in an absolute sense. Listen to what it says right here where Paul said, he said, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Folks, that's talking about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, walking with God in the same way where we put our complete trust in him. And then it goes on to say, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." And the next verse of scripture should really help you. On the rebound, Paul says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power." Look at what he's saying. He's saying, folks, be real careful of religion and tradition, because it will cause you to walk away from the real truth and relationship with God. Because everything that God needed is in Jesus, and because we are in Christ, everything, we are complete, everything is in us. He's trying to help build us up to have confidence, not to be entangled in things. And as simple as what was just mentioned, think just for a little bit. Do you know how many wars have been fought over seats? How many people have gotten to a church where they can't get their seat, and they've actually stormed out of the building or went through the whole service with an attitude, "I can't believe it, they took my chair." And it's not even their chair. It doesn't even have their name on it. It doesn't even have a little plaque on the back that said, "Because you donated so much money, this is now donated to such and such a family." Folks, all of those kind of things, and I'm laughing a little bit about it, and I'm kind of laughing a little bit about hearing almost your silence as BJ made that comment. But think for a moment with a real seriousness. Isn't it amazing how many of these things that we actually allow to be a part of our experience where we say we're actually coming to meet with God? Folks, meeting with God should be more than where you sit. It should be more than your little group or not your little group, what you wear or what you didn't wear. And we do expect you to wear something. It should be something that fulfills your life, where there's an actual experience with God.
24 hours, 7 days a week, you should feel grace in your life.
Very good.
Think about it. If it says somewhere in the book, and Jim will tell you where it says it, it talks about, don't worry about what you eat, don't worry about where you sleep, don't worry about your clothes, because if I'm going to take care of the birds and the bees, am I not going to take care of somebody that's made in my own image? Okay, well, obviously, if there's that much grace, if there's that much love, then that means whether you are sitting in your favorite chair watching your favorite movie with your favorite snack and your favorite pajamas, or you're in your favorite dress clothes anywhere on the planet, grace should be there.
Yes.
Because think about this, folks. It is so easy to get wrapped up in this world. It is so easy to discount what the flesh is, because we are so conditioned for things that are tangible. How many times have you literally looked at a sign and it'll say, "Come on in, free coffee, free donuts, air conditioned." Don't you say, "Well, I wonder if they've got their thermostat turned down or not, or if it's stuffy in there. I wonder if the donuts are stale. I wonder if the coffee is the way I like it." You're questioning things that you know are tangible, whether they're going to work for you, whether you like them or not. Everything about your spirit being is untangible to this world. If you're looking
Yes.
for a sign, if you're looking for something that you can hold in your hand, if you're looking for something that you can say, "You know, I really don't like it in blue, I'd like to have it in green," you're never going to find God.
Yeah. This is a real good verse. You'll like this. It's over in the Message Bible in John 4. It says, "Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth." That's the kind of people the Father is looking out for, those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship Him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration.
There you go.
I think it's very clear what he's saying here.
He's saying it's okay to wear pajamas to a building. That's exactly what it says. You can wear your pajamas, flip-flops. You don't have to shave, shower, or even brush your hair. Just show up and say, "Thank you, Jesus."
Now, look at this in light of what Jesus says as we look in Luke chapter 9 and verse 27. If you're following along, listen closely with me, and here's where religion's gonna rise up. I'm gonna warn you about it before I get there. You're gonna probably think that this was just an isolated case, and someone's gonna go, "Well, it is." Okay, hold on a second. I'm gonna answer that. And you're gonna think it was a special case, and someone's gonna say, "Well, it is." Hold on, I'm gonna answer that too. Listen to this. It says, "Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he, Jesus, took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah,' not knowing what he said. And while he was saying this, a cloud came, overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud and said, 'This is my beloved Son, hear him.'" All right. Now folks are going to say, "Well, this is an isolated case." My answer to that is very simple. Isn't it interesting that this is the first time that we have a record of Jesus taking someone with him when he would go to pray? He always went alone to pray, and he would go all the time to get away from everything, to get away from people, to be by himself in an isolated place, most of the time early in the morning, and he would spend time with his Father. My question is to you, what would make you think that he didn't have many experiences, or that this kind of experience that you're reading about was the norm? Someone would say, "Well, I believe it's a special experience." Well, what if all of your experiences with God could be special like this? That hearing his voice, recognizing his presence, the glory cloud being available and present, and even if need be, there were saints from the past that spoke. I know that sounds blasphemous, but it's right there in the Bible. What if these experiences were things that you could actually experience more with regularity than less? And here's what religion does. It says, "Well, that's an isolated case, and that's a special experience." And immediately, BJ, we take everybody right away from expecting to have this kind of closeness with God. And I have a question for you, and I've said this before to you, and I'll say it to the people. Okay, so a father doesn't show up until 30 years later. You're 30 years old and you finally get to meet your dad. Even if you had all the restraint in the world, wouldn't you at some point bring up the idea, "Where were you for the first 30 years of my life? I needed you. Dad, I needed you. It's nice to know you now, but I needed you all 30 years. Where were you?" So what part of coming into a quote-unquote relationship, where I read the scripture early over in Ephesians chapter 3 that we're in the family of God, what part of that says it's okay for us to have 30 years supposedly in the church, in a relationship with God, but we're never really able to sense him, hear him, feel him, his emotions, his feelings, know him, and have a day-to-day fun time with our Father? There's nothing about that, BJ, that says it's okay. It's not okay in this earthly realm. and it's not okay in the heavenly realm. But this is what we've been actually led to believe that's normal.
Right. And I want to ask you folks something. I want you to consider something. And it's kind of interesting. Whenever you hear of a, I hate the word miracle. I hate the word supernatural. I think those are ridiculous words, because when you're with Christ and you're enjoying the grace of God, it's normal. The only people that think that grace and answered prayers are miracles and manifestations and supernatural are people that are far away. But I want you to think about something. Have you ever noticed that when you hear the once in a blue moon thing, an elderly man in his 70s with arthritis and two bad knees, turns a car over and rescues a family out of a burning car, or a 5-year-old child performs CPR and drags 30 classmates out of an overturned school bus in raging waters. And you hear about all these miracle things, and they say, well, that was God. Have you ever noticed that the people that truly have seem to have a nice, peaceful life, the type of person that you know has a good relationship with God, they're always in this category. They usually don't have a lot of money. They don't have a lot of material possessions, and they have a lot of free time. A lot of people just call them bums or lower class people or disadvantaged or unfortunate, or sometimes just lazy and poor. Or their children. Well, they're children. They're supposed to play. They're supposed to have fun. They don't have the responsibilities of an adult. Or it'll be a senior citizen who worked their job for 40 years and they're retired and they have a lot of free time on their hands. Basically, the people that I'm describing, or people that are in hospital beds, the people I'm describing have a one major factor in common that allows them all to experience grace and be closer to God. And that is that they all have a very absolute, very sharp, harsh detachment from the average person that is working 40 hours a week and has bills to pay and places to go, and they don't have any free time except for an occasional sick day or vacation day. They are detached from this world.
Right.
They are free. They're uninhibited. They are literally what we would call outsiders to reality.
Right.
You have to be an outsider to what you think this world is to be closer to God, because I'm here to tell you that there's nothing from this world that can go to heaven, and heaven doesn't want to have anything to do with this world. It's in Scripture. Jim, we're down to about 4 minutes.
Yeah, I wanted to share this. You know, when you look at some of the relationships in the Bible, and I described that about Jesus, and BJ's making a point here, and I'm going to actually back it up by saying, remember Moses? God had Moses to put the tent of meeting. That's the place where God would come and meet with Moses. The cloud of God was seen by the people, would overshadow that building, and God would come and talk with Moses face to face in the tent of meeting. But Moses had to put the tent far away from the camp, which represents he had to move the tent. The place where he would meet God would be easier to hear God, recognize God, and have an experience with him the further detached he was from the world. And for some of you that are thinking, oh my goodness, look at what you guys are saying. I can't live like a monk. But you can take what we're saying, and with small, simple choices that may not necessarily not be easy, you can make simple choices all day long to begin to acknowledge the grace of God and begin to do assessment in your life to see if there's things that you can put aside here and things that you can alter there, where you can spend more time and become, have a greater consciousness of God, have a greater awareness of your spirit, and have much more clear and focused times of fellowship with God. You know, it's interesting, but the more time you have with him where there's clarity, the more time you want to spend with him. This is something that Paul addressed in his letters, and I'm going to pray a prayer here in just a moment. Paul prayed some things about the church. You've heard me pray these before, But he did it because the church was beginning to waver already. Right after Jesus went up into heaven, they were beginning to mix again and mingle with things that would distract them. And so I want to pray this prayer, and I want to start it right now, because it's a prayer that Paul prayed to solve this type of problem. Father in heaven, the God of glory, that you would give unto all of us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, so we would come to know you. The eyes of our understanding, that they would be flooded with light, so that our hearts would know you. That you might reveal to us the hope of our calling, the reason why we're here, the glorious riches of the inheritance in Christ. In other words, what it's like to be a part of this amazing family. And what is the greatness of your glory, which you worked in Christ when you raised him from the dead. In other words, that you might know that there is grace every day, and it's great, and it's beyond any problem or situation that you could ever have. The grace of God is there for you. It's like breathing air. It's always there. That you would know it, that you would begin to respond to it. Father, open our eyes and let this prayer today become a real truth and reality to everyone that hears. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, folks, we haven't talked about this in a while, but I want you to listen to the show at least one more time and spend this next week going over the theories and for your consideration on the show's page and email Jim. And we're always there for you. And I want you to just consider this, because if things aren't going right, then maybe it's time for an adjustment, an abrupt adjustment. I thought it was a good show tonight.
I did too, and I want to just reiterate real quickly that one verse that says in John 4, Message Bible, your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth.
Have a good week, folks. We'll see you here next Wednesday night, the 21st. Email us with whatever you'd like to say. Good night.
Good night.